When God made man, he declared that he had made man in his own image. And I think there's a number of things you could derive from that statement. God is a holy God. He made man upright, pure. He made him without sin. But God defines more than that, I think. God is an intelligent God. He's a God of understanding. We will never understand all. I don't know what he's going to let us understand when we're there. But from this point of view, we're not even going to get close to understand what God did exactly. But he done it intelligently. He done it exactly. He done it mathematically, if you would say. It's computable. And his world beyond ours. But God's an intelligent God, and he made an intelligent creation. Yes. And he made us logical. We're supposed to be logical. I'm saying we've been damaged, but we're still within that. We're made with the capacity for logics and reason to be able to understand. And it's why when a few years ago they started, school systems started promoting the idea that when children was taking a test that 2 + 2 = 5, that wasn't the best answer, they said. Well, it's the wrong answer to us logical people. And reason would say to us, any reasonable person would look at that and know that that doesn't work. No. There has to be a standard of right. God, if you can get this from the scriptures without it exactly being said that God was an exact God. He was a God of details. Yeah. You can see it in almost everything he told people to do. When he instructed Moses what to do, it was defined. When he told him how to make a tabernacle, you ever read that? He had it right down to what color the tapestry was supposed to be. He told him what kind of skins to make. He had goat skins and badger skins on the outside, and you was to mortise the stuff together a certain way, and you was to run the things through it a certain way, and it was to be a certain size, all the way back to Noah. When he started building the ark, he told him how long it was to be and how wide, what kind of wood to get for this and how to do that. It was very, very specific in what the Lord did. And I can take from that that God is a God of logics. He's a God of reasons. He does things in certain order. We can guess about the time, but this world runs off of it. I mean, we might be off a minute or two here or there, but the whole universe is scheduled. They're supposed to be next, am I right, honey, next year, 24. There's supposed to be a total solar eclipse, which where the moon completely eclipses the sun. And the path, I remember right, is goes like up through Texas and Oklahoma. It's kind of like that. We're not going to get the full thing. We'll get part of it, but we're not in the line of the full thing. And they said, you know, a lot of people's excited about seeing that. And if you miss it, you won't get the opportunity for 23 years, I think it was. Well, now, how do they know that? Well, because God created us with the capacity for reason, the ability to mathematically work out things, and God mathematically worked it out to start with. So we can count on what God has done to be accurate in 23 years. Because what God done is that exact that we can count on it. You can go into and you can find out what time exactly that the sun's going to rise tomorrow morning. And they're able to do that because we have the capacity for reasoning. And God reasoned, and he made things in order, in exact order, and therefore we can get together on God's, what God has done, and we can do what God has done. We can understand what God has done because he created us to do that. Now, we've been damaged, but God made a way for us to be saved. He made a plan, an exact plan that takes care of the needs of our soul. And he presented that through his son, Jesus. He presents the plan of salvation to us, and we can understand it. He devised it exactly. Do you know that the plan, you can go all the way back into Genesis and start seeing that God in the beginning already made a way for the fall of man. When there was going to be a plan for the fall of man. If man fall, here's the plan that's going to be in there, an exact plan and a way for us to be saved. And I thank God for that. I'm not assuming that my mind can go to the areas, great areas of God. But he did make us, we're not turning this down, he made us intelligent. He made us a being that's capable of reasoning. You may say, well, I know some people that can't. Well, everybody can do this. So I want to start with Isaiah, first chapter of Isaiah. In the 18th verse, says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't that a remarkable idea? That the Lord, God of the universe, was so interested in his creation, so interested in man, and think of where it puts God, where God says this way, I'm going to come down and I'm going to bring you up and come. I'm concerned about you. I made you to be able to understand this. Come and let us reason together about this. Let me give you a sense of, let me give you some of my understanding here so that you can make your best choices, so you can understand what this is all about. Come, let us reason together. Be willing to come and reason with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Jesus said that I called you, I called you friends. That's an amazing idea. I called you friends. Come on, let us reason. Reason this thing out. You know, the Lord wants to reason with you about your, he wants you to be able to come freely and come and reason with him. He says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, this is the beginning part of it. This is a part of the reasoning. I'm God and you're not. This is part of the reasoning. You can't help yourself. This is part of the, you've got to come to this understanding about this. That it, when you start calculating things, you've got to calculate in there to the fact that you can't do this yourself. You have no ability to save yourself. You can't change the fact that you're red. Actually, this scripture here that it says that you're like crimson. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this passage holds within it. I think Matthew Henry actually states this, that this was the twofold fall of man here, because this term actually means double dyed. It means you're not just red, you were double red. You didn't come out of this pinkish. You come out double red because you had against you from the beginning the nature of your father Adam. From the beginning, everybody has sinned. You come into this born in iniquity. You can't help that your nature is a sinful nature. But you're double dipped because it isn't long before you choose to do it. You actually you actually activate that which is in you. So you're double died. You're double sinned. What are you going to do? Well, let's reason together, the Lord says. You tell me how you're going to correct that. How are you going to do anything about the fallen condition that you're in? Come, let us reason together. What a beautiful idea that the Lord has presented to us, that through Christ we can repent and we can change the idea. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are crimson red and you can be made white as snow, that there is a conversion not known to man. Anything, not any detergents, not anything, not bleaches, anything that can take this stain out of any, completely out. But the Lord says, come reason with me. You won't be able to develop something on your own to do it. But if you come to me, I can take that out of your life. Let's be reasoned. You got an issue in your life, the Lord's saying, come and reason with the one that loves you the most. The one that's got the power to do it. I can do something for you here in this. You know, the idea of wisdom is really closely related to this thought here, because wisdom is a form of what I call logics. There has to be a form of logics involved in it. And so logics works this way, of our observation. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hand will bring you to poverty. That is calculatable. You can actually look at it and say, yes, I see this. You put a line, you sort of add it all up, and this is what it brings you to. It is the very definition of wisdom. We have the ability to be wise. And I look into the world, and if the world needs anything, they need to be able to hear this right here and say, because all the measures, all the laws, all the things that they're trying to do, I can tell you right now, right here in the fear of the Lord, it's not going to help. It's not going to help. You're not going to change the heart of people that are vicious and cruel. And me, you're not going to change the heart of the people that the devil is working with. You say, well, if we could take the guns away, well, you know what? I'm just logical too about it. If I had to face something, me and my family, if I had to face something, I'd rather face a guy with a stick than an automatic rifle. Of course I look at that and say, logically I would. But if you're really going to do something, that guy's heart needs to be different. Because it's more and more, it's changing. The heart of people are becoming vicious and cruel and mean. And they're going to blow people up. They're going to hit them with hammers. They're going to push them in front of cars. We're seeing this more and more all over the place, that people become, life isn't important anymore. This is what's happened. Wisdom has declared it now. This is what's gone. It's going to go on and on and on. And so the answer isn't legislation. The government will never make a moral people. You can't legislate morality. You can't say you guys are going to love each other. You want to get rid of prejudice, let's make some laws on it. How are you going to make a law to have somebody keep from hating somebody? There's no law that changes those kind of things. The Lord said, come and reason. Our nation needs to come to the Lord and reason with the Lord and say, Lord, our nation is red. It's like it's crimson, it's scarlet. We're in trouble. We need to be made back white as snow is what we need. Here's what the change needs to be. Well, as I say often, we can't change the whole nation from a pulpit here in Oklahoma City. But there is a bunch of people in here, and the principle still applies to each and every one of us. The Church of God, the ministers can't get together and say it'd be a good idea for us to legislate your all's morality or our own morality. And you can't legislate faith. And you can't legislate a desire to go to serve. You can't regulate those kind of things. It comes from this point here where the Lord says, I'm looking into your life and this is what I'm seeing. Your sins are like scarlet before me. And I've got a remedy. Now let's reason. Let's run this through the reasoning here. This is the condition that you're in, and this is where it's going to take you. Here's the heartache and misery that you're going to suffer from it. This is what the end of life will be, and this is what eternity is going to be. This is reasonable. This is what your future looks like under you being red like scarlet. So let's reason. I can make you white as snow. I can change the course of all of this in your life. I think about the places that was mentioned in the scriptures about this. You remember third chapter of John, it starts off and says there's a man named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. And he come to the Lord. You can read it. It's in third chapter of John. But he comes to the Lord in the night. He had a brain. And there was this man going around that was doing the works of God. He was in an environment where he wasn't supposed to acknowledge that. But his reason wouldn't let him not. Something was honest about Nicodemus. And he comes to the Lord and he sneaks in the Lord. I love this story because it's so human. He didn't want to feel the pressure of his peers. He didn't want to be seen. But something was driving, pulling at him. Something was, he needed to go talk to Jesus because he was a man. About everything that he ever thought and said and thought in his life, he probably thought that this man has to be the Lord. All my understandings of the scriptures, all the miracles that God did for the children of Israel, right on. I've read those things. I've seen it. And now here is a man that's doing the works of God. How could he not be of God? So he comes and tells Jesus, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Because no man can do these miracles unless you do. See, he used the pattern. He used the pattern of logics, of reasons. This is where it come to. If you do this, you do this, you do this. This is what it is. All the rest of them should have believed it too. He come with the witness. He come with the evidence. Well, they didn't, but Nicodemus did. And he come. And the Lord begins to reason with Nicodemus. It was hard for him. But again, they reasoned with him. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh, carry me through this reasoning process. What are you talking about? Can you go again in your mother's womb, be born again? Jesus said, nah, Nicodemus. You got to understand this spiritual idea here. But you know what he said? Let's reason it today. Ye must be born again. Got to mean something. Lord, what does it mean? You're not going to spend eternity with Jesus if you're not born again. You have to have a born again experience. I can take I can turn it white as snow. I can change this part of it. He reasons with Nicodemus. You can read it there. It's a good story. He talks to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I don't understand this. How can you be a ruler in Israel and you don't understand this? And he goes on with it, and he goes on with it. And I love the idea because Nicodemus is a captive of the Lord at this point. He's struggling as people do in this world. He's struggling between his peers. What he had always known, family members? Well, sure. I mean, figuring he was a regular guy, he had all of these things that was pouring against him, and what was people going to think? I mean, we're supposed to be against this guy. We know that Moses' law was it. We know what God, and he's struggling with that, and then he comes to the point, if you can imagine the scene now, Jesus is the one that the scripture says that he spoke with authority. See, he's speaking like, with the help of the Holy Ghost, we can do it, but we can't speak like Jesus. Jesus spoke with the power and authority of the Son of God. At times he could not be withstood. There was something about Jesus' words that was different. No man spake as this man spake. And he's speaking and he's telling Nicodemus this. Nicodemus is struggling to reason. And then the most, I'll say, used, famous, however you want to put it, quotable scripture in the Bible. To me, was Jesus looking straight into Nicodemus' eyes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You reckon that would change? You reckon the reasoning might come in when you get to this place? I'm going to tell you, folks, one of the most, it's kept me. Honestly, it's kept me. In the struggles of my life living for the Lord, many times I've been down and the thought come to me. No matter what else, failures, shortcomings, heartaches, suffering, whatever it was, God loves me. Christ died for me. God loves me. That kept me through all of it. No matter what, God loves me. Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The story of Nicodemus is interesting because it goes from that point, a ruler of the Jews that's struggling in the middle of the night. But you know, Nicodemus was one that, with another one that got the body of Jesus. Nicodemus was mentioned again. Nicodemus didn't seem to be hiding anymore. I wonder what the reasoning words of the Lord did for him at that time. It touched him. You remember the scripture in Acts, 24th chapter of Acts or something, where it said of Paul that he, preaching to Felix, it said it reasoned with him. Yes. Of temperance. What was it? Of temperance. Somebody help. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He reasoned with him. He said, here's somebody that's got some knowledge and I don't get this. And he started reasoning with him. He started bringing the scripture and this scripture and this scripture. And the Lord did this and this. And all of a sudden this man is starting to say inside, he's trembling now. You don't tremble unless you believe this stuff. The reasoning's starting to work. Come and let us reason together. You'll see that the Lord is the Christ. You'll see that he was the Messiah. Oh, he is preaching to him. This is him. And he said, oh, it trembled. He trembled at it. Scripture over in 8th chapter of Proverbs. First verse says, doth not wisdom cry? Big question mark. Doth not wisdom cry? Does wisdom cry today? Is it wisdom to those that's paying attention? Is it still crying? Or isn't wisdom still saying after the age, all these ages, isn't it still saying that the same old patterns of human life is happening? Isn't it saying, does wisdom tell you that that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God? Doesn't wisdom still say that you leave God out of your life? And the only thing left is corruption and decadency. And doesn't wisdom tell us that the direction of the country and of the world in general, but this country, oh my, Lord help. The direction of the country, you look and say, how could this not end in a terrible, terrible situation? The Lord is still saying, come, let us reason together. Reasoning seems to be so far gone from people's minds. It's like I totally run off of any kind of passion or belief that I can muster without the idea of any kind of logical idea about it. We've already mentioned in this meeting, for ever since God created human beings, we've been able to understand that there's male and female, made he them. It's a very easy thing, and we base all of our biological arguments off of the idea of something that everybody should know easily. You can look at everything from, if you're a farmer raising cattle, to pigs to chickens. You can look at everything in the world and come to the same conclusion that male and female made them. You can come to the idea of it and understand it very well. And all of a sudden in this world, we will not reason, but wisdom still cries. That's got to go somewhere. Logical thought and reason says that there's going to be a time that you scratch across and you add it up, and at the end of it's going to be the sum of all these things. And what is the sum of it going to be at the end of it? You know, we can do the same thing in our individual personal lives. As what I want to talk about today is that the Lord has come to say to every one of us, And we can use it all the time in our life that there's an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart. So here's the idea. Come, says the Lord today. If you don't understand, come, let us reason. Come, let us reason together. What an invitation the Lord has given us. It's like a couple that would get together and say, I want that. And somebody says, I don't want to sell it, but I'd sell it for a price. Well, what's your price? Let's reason this thing out. I'm willing to give this much and I'm willing to sell for so much. And the Lord comes in and says, I've got something for you. It is free in a sense, but not in the sense I'm looking at here, because in this passage, in the passage over there, go back to the passage in the first chapter of Isaiah, he says, if ye be willing and obedient, what shall you do? Most people know this scripture really well. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I'm going to say this about our nation today. It's true today. If this nation would be willing and obedient, we'd eat the good of the land. If we rebel, we got the sword coming. This is spiritually speaking, but I'm going to tell you, it's as sure as any sword. The Lord's going to withdraw himself on this, and it's going to be more chaotic as it goes in there all the time. But the Lord has offered each one of us individually, come, let us reason together. Come and I'll tell you what you're going to have to. You know, he's a real good, he loves us. And he's made a way for each and every one of us. And this is what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Come, let us reason together about this. If you don't take me into your life, there's going to be a pattern of your life. I'm going to clean you up, but that's the beginning. You're going to have to be willing and obedient. You're going to have to be willing and obedient. If you'll be willing and obedient, I'm going to take you through a planned course of life. So I'm going to make a plan for your life. And the Lord said in another scripture, I think it's Jeremiah, that where he said that, I know my thoughts towards you. They're not thoughts of evil, but they're of good. There was a reason why, if you look at that passage of scripture, the Lord just was talking to them about you're going into captivity. I mean, that looks pretty bad, Don. I mean, he's talking to them about some pretty negative stuff and all of a sudden he comes to this one. That's usually the verse we use, but really the context of that isn't the Lord's is doing something with, hey, this is what you have to do. But I know my thoughts towards you. You would look at this and say, God has forsaken us and he's going to kill us. No, the Lord said, you got yourself into a position that there's nothing else I can do to save you but this. So this, I want you to know that the intention that I have here is your preservation. It is not to destroy you. My thoughts towards you is good, to give you something good. But you all been serving these idols and been rebellious and all that. I'm down to the last of this reasoning process. I'm going to have to do this right now for you. This is what I'm going to bring into your life to bring you back to the place that you should be. That's my thought towards you. That's what I want to accomplish in your life. Come, let us reason together. Let us reason. Doth not wisdom cry, and her understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places. By the way, in the places of the past, she sees real good. Perfect vision. She crieth at the gates, at the entering in of the city, at the coming in at the doors. I say this, and said it in this meeting already. The problems that we're facing now was seed sown all the way back in the 60s or before. anybody that looks at it can see an obvious pattern of degradation that has started from that point and has grown into, it's where the acorn becomes the oak tree. We're dealing with the great branches of the atheist paganistic thoughts and non-scriptural thoughts and the movements that they had. And listen, I've always been kind of between the thing, you know, talk about prayer in school, and I've always said, well, I don't really want just anybody of religious to be able to dictate what they say to children or anything else. But do you know, children, that I know that when I was growing up, looking up to an elder, a teacher or something like that, they was the one that had the answers. You automatically looked up to them. And if it was a good person, you automatically appreciated them. And I know the teachers that was in my life, they was the one that had the answers and all this. And I automatically looked up to them with a certain amount of honor and stuff. And when you take a prayer out of school and you take godly people out of there and there's no influence of that way and you allow them to live any kind of life, and now the people that know it's the ones running around and doing anything, dressing anyway, acting anyway, doing anything, the very same thing. This is the teachers. This is who's on. You know, after a while, that's bad. Wisdom will cry on this. It'll say you're bound to affect your children if you put them under that. You're bound to. As a nation, you're bound to do it eventually. You set a nation of children in front of the TV screen and let Hollywood be the teacher of them for generations, for the most part, just infiltrating a little bit at a time, generation at a time. What do you think you're going to end up with after 40, 50 years? The society that we have. That's what you're going to end up with. If we turn back in our lives, the effect may be minor, and it may be a little bit more for our children. Sorry, I've been mentioned in this service today, but two or three generations down, they don't know nothing. They don't have the same ideas and thoughts at all after a while. And this is biblically provable, because that's what happened through the generations after Adam. It's what happened after Noah. It's what happens after all of the renaissance of religious thoughts. It's always has deteriorated from the ones that started after the generations went by, unless it was very carefully held. Well, Lord help us. Because now we're in the position, what are we going to do in this world? Be a light? Be an example? Be the good and the willing. Be the willing and the obedient. Be the ones that can eat. We can still eat the good of the land. Thank God that God made a way that this is individual enough. It isn't collective. It is individual. We will go along with our society. There'll be things we have to be affected with. But he had Daniel go right down there in the middle of Babylon, and he was successful because he lived for the Lord. In an old heathen nation, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was successful. Joseph went down to Egypt and was successful. God's people can be successful everywhere they go because we have the personal ability to reason with the Lord for ourselves. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You need help and I'm here to help. What a reason. That sounds like a perfect fit to me. It's like you always said, it's not hard for a loving God and a seeking soul because they're both drawn to one another. Let us reason together. So wisdom's crying, and it's crying to us. Don't take the way of the world. We mentioned about setting people in front of TV. That seems obsolete, doesn't it? Well, now, it is obsolete. Honestly, it's obsolete. Because what it used to be, take a lot of effort. Where I grew up, we had TV when I grew up, and the TV channels that we had, of course, we lived in the mountains, and you had to run an antenna up on the mountain up there with a couple wires down. Every time it stormed, of course, stick gets on the line, and you had to go up. I made many, many trips up and down the line to get the sticks off or repair the line. It was the way it was back then. My dad, he was kind of a inventor-type person, and he ended up, we had we got channel 4 and a little bit of channel 9 from an antenna at the yard that was pointed a certain way. And then we had a throw switch to throw the to another antenna. So we was back and forth. If you want to watch a channel, you turn here and flip here. And he had it kind of like that. And it took a lot of effort. And it was a lot of times it was fuzzy or snowy. And you thought you was really doing something. And you didn't get a whole lot then at that. And then they come along with something like this. And there is a... I don't know. Would it be fair to say a million times the capability? I'd say that would be low. The capability of seeing most anything that was ever made, done, sung, written, or anybody's opinion about anything that was written, sung, made. Yeah. And then your opinion, if it's on there. That's what we got. But we don't have to succumb to any of the evils that's around it, that can be a blessing, and thank God for them. But I'm going to tell you this. The devil can sure put a lot of junk through it. The devil can sure take advantage of us. And so the Lord wants to come and say, I'm going to reason with you over these things. I want to reason with you over that. And he might reason with you and say, the best thing you can do with that is throw it away. I want to reason with you about it. Put some blocks on that. I want to reason with you about this because the bottom line of it is our soul is more important than anything else. And wisdom is crying to this world and it's going further and further and further. I don't know. I preach about it a lot. I hope it's okay. But I have such a sense of the devil taking so much. It seems like the sum of this is so directly the devil. I mean, in your face, the devil. It's like saying, I'm the devil. I'm right here. I'm the devil. Come, let's play. It's that obvious. Some of them even say it. Oh, I'm satanic worshiper. All right. And it'd be okay. It's all right for teachers to be satanic people. It's all right for teachers to be. Lord, help us. What you think is, we love everybody. But what is the end up of this? Lord, help us to be faithful. That the devil wouldn't be able to take our love of God or of our fellow man, no matter how depraved it gets. Lord, help us to have the love of God. I can't have it on myself. I'm red. I'm like crimson. But Lord, you clean me up and give me the heart, the love of God. Shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Give us the love of God that when we face this in the world, what we're combating it with is not a bad attitude. It isn't a religious system, but it's the love of God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.